Ms. Thomas Garrison, I'm a math major, and I'm here interviewing Wes Pegden, professor of mathematics at CMU today. And my first question is, how do you choose problems to work on?
Oh, yeah, so that's a good question. So, math problems, I think we come to them in different ways. I mean, sometimes there's a problem that people have been thinking about for decades. It's been around for a long time that people have been curious about, and it's something that a lot of people want to solve. Other times you have a problem that you comes up in some sort of application, where it would help you solve something else, and so you start thinking about the problem that way. But a lot of times there's just problems were posed at some point and people got interested in them, and then they've been open problems for quite some time, and then it's this thing that people are interested in and understand.
Nice. Do you think about like math recreationally when you go home? Are you still thinking about math, or did it shut off?
Oh yeah, I think I think it's you spend a lot of time thinking about math. At unusual times when you're not really you're kind of always. Yeah, it's always sort of at least in the mind. Yeah, some problem that you're working for, especially if you're really close to something, or you feel like or there's one little thing that you're trying to fix about some proof. Then it's hard to think about anything else.
Makes sense. What is your approach when you start a new problem? How do you start, I guess?
Oh yeah, so I mean that depends a lot on the problem and also a lot on the person. Sometimes you're working in some field where where you've done a lot of work and you have a lot of tools that you're familiar with and a lot of techniques, and maybe just by the nature of the problem you have some ideas about how to get started, and there are similar problems that where you have some idea of how they were solved. And other times you're doing something completely new and it requires you to be much more exploratory and just sort of pursue a much more open-ended process of just sort of trying to get an understanding of what's going on without really knowing where that will lead you.
And how do you decide if you like need to like pull in other people, or do you usually like to work alone or what?
That's an interesting question. I mean, sometimes I think a lot of times people decide to work together on something because they sort of encountered the problem together. They're already discussing something and then here's this thing that we've done. But other times, it can also happen that you're working on something and you think, well, this is something where I don't really know some technique or some, background that would be relevant here. Maybe so-and-so can help me with this. So I think both of those things happen. I think the social aspect of this is very real, and that sometimes just discussing things with people will lead to the idea of trying to work out some problem, and that those people will work on it together.
Got it. What's a problem you worked on that is easy to explain?
Easy to explain. One problem that's in this category of things that come from some application that people are interested in is something related to political districting, right? So there's this topic of gerrymandering, political districting. So this is when the people that draw, for example, the congressional districting of Pennsylvania might carefully draw the districting to maximize the electoral advantage they get from that districting, right? So for example, if the Republican legislature of Pennsylvania was, drawing the congressional districting in 2011, they might have drawn it to try to ensure that they get as many Republican seats as possible in the U.S. Congress in a delegation. Claims of gerrymandering are often litigated, right? So there are sometimes lawsuits asserting that, one political party has carefully drawn a political districting to maximize their advantage in this way. Then when this happens, there's a court case and evidence is presented, and judges have to decide whether or not this really happened, right? Did the political party really maximize their advantage? Did they really carefully draw these lines for some political goal? And so one thing that's funny about this is, right, I mean, if you think about this in the abstract, you're presented with one map, and the question is this map fair or not? And of course, usually to think about whether something is fair, you'd want to have some comparison. And so this is where math can come into play. So in particular, the natural question that arises mathematically from this problem is how one can generate truly random partitions of a geometric shape. So for example, that geometric shape could be a state. And by geometric partition, we mean we want to divide the shape into a certain number of regions, each of which is a connected region, and each of which, in the case of a state distributing, may have to have equal population in the state, and may have to satisfy some other geometric conditions. So that's it's an example of a sampling problem, right? I have some complicated space, which is here the ways of dividing up a geometric shape into regions, and the problem is how can I generate a random sample from this space? So that's an example of something that we've done a lot of work on. And this is a good example of a problem that really came from an application, right? So there was this thing that people were discussing, which is how can we sort of get at the problem of evaluating these districtings? And that led to these natural questions about sampling.
Nice. And for problems like gerrymandering where it's...
Hotel Kilo. Es folgen Mitteilungen für Reitbo 8, 1-1 Ruppen, 9-2-1, 6-6 Ruppen. Achtung!
Can't stop, chop, chop.
Le buffle serait.
This is Chop Chop.
This is Brad Keselowski, driver number 2, Discount Tire Ford Mustang. Racing fans know that a quick pit stop to check the tires can give me the winning edge. The same is true for your car. Proper tire tread helps keep traction on the road and everyday driving. To check your tread, simply insert a penny, Lincoln's head first, into your tire grooves. If you can see all of Honest Abe's head, it's time to get your tires checked by a professional.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
¶¶ Let's play Ticketmaster and Servant, yeah. Let's play Been on Hold for a Long Time. Let's play You're Ripping Off My Credit Card. Let's play Another Rubbish Gig, yeah. Let's play Ticketmaster and Servant, yeah. But I'd rather go to my local, yeah. See some bands and pay on the door, oh yeah. I don't wanna play Ticketmaster or Servant anymore.
Shop, 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 shop. Shop, shop. Shop, shop. Shop, shop. Shop, shop. Shop, shop. Shop, shop.
This is the end of this character. This is the end of 130 second songs. Still my head. I can't take anymore. There's no songs about the music industry. Coming to the end.
What's the difference, you know, she don't care. Welfare's paying for it. Huh. Oh yeah, I told him. Welfare's paying for it. You know what's paying for this bacon? I said, I'm out in the sun 24 hours a day. And this nickel works out there. And that's how I work my nickel. And that's how I got my bacon.
Oh, โอ้โหน้องตั้งใจจมไม่ยิ้มเหี่ยวน้องบอลเลยโอ้แต่เจ้าเนี่ยเจ้าหาโม่ตั้งไม่ยิ้มเหี่ยวอ่ะตัวเชฟ้าชุบานึชุบานึเจ้าไปตั้งไม่เหี่ยวตัวหาโม่เฮ้ยโอเค
ไปเจอกันแล้วเดี๋ยวนะมาใครจะเนี่ยเขาชุบเฮ้ยไม่ใช่เด็กนะไม่ใช่เด็กนะไม่ใช่เด็กนะไม่ใช่เด็กนะไม่ใช่เด็กนะไม่ใช่เด็กนะไม่ใช่เด็กนะไม่ใช่เด็กนะไม่ใช่เด็กนะไม่ใช่เด็กนะไม่ใช่เด็กนะไม่ใช่เด็กนะไม่ใช่เด็กนะไม่ใช่เด็กนะไม่ใช่เด็กนะไม่ใช่เด็กนะไม่ใช่เด็กนะไม่ใช่เด็กนะไม่ใช่เด็กนะไม่ใช่เด็กนะไม่ใช่เด็กนะไม่ใช่เด็กนะไม่ใช่เด็กนะไม่ใช่เด็กนะไม่ใช่เด็กนะไม่ใช
Thank you. To some, the sound of a baby babbling doesn't mean much, but that's not true. They're testing out vowels and consonants and trying different sounds. And by 12 months, their babbling is beginning to take on meaning, especially if there's no babbling at all. Little to no babbling by 12 months or later is just one of the possible signs of autism in children. Learn more at AutismSpeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Apologize. Chop, 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 chop.
Thank you. バカ。このまま返すわけないだろう。そうだよね。これは何？バラの刻印、知ってるんでしょ？それを持ってるのは、決闘の参加資格があるってこと。あのサイオンジってやつ、君のことが欲しくて、みんなと決闘してるって言ってたけど、みんな君を手に入れてどうしようって言うんだ。かしな人、店長ウテナさん。ウテナです。よろしくウテナ。愛そうよね、私たち。決闘に勝ったやつとはいつもこんなこと。私はバラの花よね。エンゲージした人の思うがままだから。細いのね。
やめろよ。遊びは終わりだ。早く自分の部屋に帰れよ。
あら、可愛い服がいっぱい。
だからなんだ、文句あるのか。
いいえ。
やめろって。何考えてんだ、お前。おかしいよ。
F1, F2, F off, F off, F off, F to F off, back to Russia, to Russia, back to Russia, F off, back to Russia.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
I knew that I could never again raise my voice against the violence of the oppressed in the ghettos without having first spoken clearly to the greatest purveyor of violence in the world today, my own government.
Today, a Democracy Now! Special, Dr. Martin Luther King in his own words. We hear excerpts of two historic speeches, Beyond Vietnam and I've Been to the Mountaintop, from the night before he was assassinated in 1968.
We've got some difficult days ahead, but it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. Long life, longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over and I've seen the promised land.
Dr. Martin Luther King for the Hour, coming up. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Today is a federal holiday that honors Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. He was born January 15, 1929. He was assassinated April 4, 1968, at the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, Tennessee. He was just 39 years old. While Dr. King is primarily remembered as a civil rights leader, he also championed the cause of the poor, organizing the Poor People's Campaign to address issues of economic justice. And Dr. King was a fierce critic of U.S. foreign policy and the Vietnam War. Beyond Vietnam was the speech he delivered at New York's Riverside Church on April 4, 1967, a year to the day before he was assassinated. In it, Dr. King called the United States the greatest purveyor of violence in the world today. Life magazine called the speech demagogic slander that sounded like a script for Radio Hanoi. The Washington Post said King, quote, diminished his usefulness to his cause, his country, his people, unquote. Well, today we let you decide. We play an excerpt of Dr. King's speech, Beyond Vietnam.
After 1954, they watched us conspire with Diem to prevent elections which could have surely brought Ho Chi Minh to power over a united Vietnam. And they realized they had been betrayed again. When we ask why they do not leap to negotiate, these things must be remembered. Also, it must be clear that the leaders of Hanoi considered the presence of American troops in support of the